Boker Tov, Boker Tov, Shalom Alchem. Well, we'll learn those greetings at the end of lesson four. So how are we doing with the alphabet and with being comfortable with recognizing the letters? Slowly, keep working at that and trying to learn the alphabet and recognize the letters so we can read. We're moving on today to lessons 4 through 6. We won't cover all of that today, but we have a lengthy introduction to those three lessons, beginning on page 35. And these lessons lay some important foundations. And we read that they're going to build on important foundations already laid in lessons 2 and 3. And we're going to increase our understanding of how verbs work, especially in narrative, which constitutes a big part and certainly the easiest part of the Old Testament. Most verbs have a three-letter stem. We call these the root or the stem, and we say it's a triradical stem. It has three root letters. And this is true for most Hebrew words and verbs. So, for example, diber and dibara and vatadabara. Bear. So diber, he spoke, third masculine singular, referring to something as a completed action, and debara, she spoke, third feminine singular, and vatadaber, which we've seen, and she spoke, so this continuing narrative form. They all have this stem that's made up of three letters, dalet, beit, resh, and then you form words by adding prefixes or suffixes, morning John, or at the top of page 35. Prefixes or suffixes to them. This makes it helpful. If you don't know a particular form of a word, you can at least have a guess as to what its root meaning is going to be something about, because it will have this root, this stem somewhere in it. In lesson four, we're going to look at forms like katal. He killed. So this is going to be it's a new verb for us, and we're going to see this verb a lot because it's the standard one that's used for developing all the paradigms, so all the system of how verbs work. Katal, katala, she killed, and katalti, I killed. So for katala, she killed, that ends in a hey, a kamatz hey, which is a standard feminine, third feminine singular ending, and katalti ends in t, that's the standard first person singular ending. So in that case, those are suffixes added to the end of the stem. And the stem there, in the third masculine singular, katal, has no prefixes, no suffixes, that's its sort of basic form. So in lesson four, we're going to learn more about those verbs that have the suffix. And then lesson six, we'll look at forms like yiktol, he will kill, ektol, I will kill, and niktol, we will kill. And in this case, these are verbs where the verb is formed with a prefix. So yik, prefix for third person, and that'll be singular or plural, ek for first person singular, and n for first person plural. And the difference there, the katal, katala, katalti refer to completed action. Yiktol, ektol, niktol refer to incomplete action. Throughout lessons 4 through 6, we shall also be increasing our awareness of forms like vayiktol, and he killed, vayedaber, and he spoke, vatomer, and she said, Vayelek, and he went, and Vayomar, and I said. And these are where we have this continuous narrative, so the next event in a chain, in a narrative chain. And these all have a prefix, that Yod, or Tav, or Aleph, but before that they have the conjugation, and Va is put before them. And a little note there, that va, so vav, pata, the vowel lengthens to an aleph, before a lengthens to a comets before an aleph. As we saw in lessons 2 and 3, these forms with a prefix va usually mark the next step forward in a continuing story. And at the end of lesson 2, we saw the forms vayelek, and he went, vayimtsa, and he found, and vayomer, and he said. And in narrative, these forms, it's the standard form in which we'll encounter the verb. So there are tens of thousands of these forms in the Old Testament. Now, to help reinforce how this works in this distinction between how these continuing narrative forms work, we have a little story. So, a very short story. And we read, on the second day, the prophet went to the king and spoke to him, and the king wept. So there are three stages. The prophet went, it's the first verb. Then he spoke, and then the king wept. So three verbs, and stage one, the prophet went, kicks it off, and the other two verbs follow on from that. They are consecutive. So we can mark the first action with a letter A, and each continuing action with a C, C for continuing. And so we'd have, and then you can lay out your story phrase by phrase this way, on the second day. So we begin with a time marker. Then our opening verb, A, the prophet went to the king, and then two continuing phrases that continue the story, and spoke to him, and the king wept. And that basically is how a Hebrew story works. So we get to see this now in Hebrew. Bayom Hasheni. So Bayom Hasheni. Bayom Hasheni. That's our time marker at the beginning of the paragraph on the second day. So, ba, yom, yom there being day, ba being both on and the. So that patach that's under the bait is the article. Sheni, second, hasheni, the second. Halak, hanavi el hamelek. Halak ha-Navi el ha-Melek. So the prophet, that's the Navi, went to the king, the Melek. And that first action of our story. Then our first continuing phrase, Vayidaber elav. Vayidaber elav. And he spoke to him. Vayevk ha-Melek. Vayevk Hamelech, and the king wept. Vayevk there, so we've got two shavas in a row. Normally, when you have that, the first shavah is silent and the second shavah is vocal. But in that case, the second shavah is at the end of the word, and it's always silent when it's in the last letter. So we have two silent shavahs in a row. Vayevk. Vayevk.
So you say the second, which shiva always silent?
When you have, normally when you have two shivas in a row, the first is silent and the second is vocal.
Oh, okay.
Except that when the shiva is on the final letter of a word, it's always silent. Mm-hmm. And that only occurs, the only letter that it would ever occur at as the final letter is kaf, like we have here. So that basically is how a Hebrew story works and unfolds. You get might get some sort of time marker, and then you get a beginning action, and then these continuing actions, all with that form of the verb beginning with a va. So in this story, halak, he went, indicates the first action, and then we have two verbs indicating continuing action that carry on the story, vayedaber and vayevk. As we read more Hebrew, we'll become increasingly alert to notice forms that mark the next step forward in a narrative and other forms of verb that contribute background information in various ways. So basically, you're going to get a whole load of forms of the verb beginning va something, that carry the narrative forward. And then anytime you don't get that, we're given background information in some form or another. So what I actually do, when I read through and work through a new piece of narrative, I just go through and I color, put in a particular color all these continuing narrative forms, and helps very quickly see what the storyline is all the way through the narrative. Okay, now let's make our story a little longer. So there'll be more actions that carry the story forward, and a little fuller, so there'll be mention of reasons and previous actions, things which do not carry the story forward, but make it more understandable. As you read it through, look for these verbs which express actions that carry the story forward. So notice for these 8 verbs that we're going to be given here, they all begin with that va, so vav and pata. And we'll have vayimtsa, vayimtsa, and he found, vayevk, and he wept. We've encountered, had that, vayevk, vayavo, vayavo, and he came, vayomer, vayomer, and he said. And that's probably the most common form in the whole Old Testament, because there's lots of speaking. Vayeten, vayeten, and he gave, vayeshev, vayeshev, and he stayed, vayeshma, vayeshma, and he heard, and vayelech, vayelech, and he went. And then there are some other words that are going to be used. Sham. Sham means there. And misham. Misham, from there. So what we do with that is we add another little word, a prefix, onto sham. And notice that the sheen now has a dagesh in it. that'll be explained why later in a few lessons' time. But putting that mi on the front means from there. And skipping over to the last one, shama, shama, thither or there. Now we've added a suffix to sham, a suffix, comets, hey, and that has made it essentially to there. That's what thither, if you can remember your distinctions between hither and thither. So thither, going to there. And then in the middle there we have natati, natati, I have given. So, making use of those words, we can now expand our story as such. First couple of phrases are the same. So, bayom hasheni, bayom hasheni, on the second day, that gives us our time for the story. Basically sets it. Halak shama hanavi. Halak shama hanavi. The prophet went there. So shama to there. Vayimtsa et hamelech et Shaul. Vayimtsa et hamelech et Shaul. And he found King Saul. So two direct object markers there, et Hamelech, the king, and then we're told a little more about the king, that he's et Shaul, he's Saul.
Why is the et in front of Saul?
Because it also it's serving what we call apposition, so it's put, they're at an equal semantic level, and they're and think of it as being, he found the king, that is Saul, and they're both functioning as a direct object, so they both take a direct object marker. So actually, if you didn't have et there, and if you had vayimtsa et hamelech Shaul, you would take Saul there as the subject of the verb. So you'd actually translate it as Saul found the king. So that makes it clear that we're to take Saul as the direct object, not as the subject. Vayomer elav. Vayomer elav. And he said to him, Ko Amar Adonai. Ko Amar Adonai. Thus says the Lord. Or, so Ko is thus, or in this way, or something. Says the Lord. Natati et hakise le David. Natati et hakise le David. Natati, I have given. Et hakise, the throne. So that's the direct object marked by et. Got the article there on kise. Le David, so to David. The le on the front makes it to. End of the little speech. Vayishma Sha'ul. Vayishma Sha'ul. Then Saul heard. What did he hear? Well, the next phrase gives us et devar hanavi. Et devar hanavi. The word of the prophet. So that's what he heard. Vayevk ki amar. Vayevk ki amar. And he wept because he said, and we'll see that we can. Context can tell us that he's probably saying that to himself, so we could translate that as the thought. He said, Lo natan li Adonai et hakise. Lo natan li Adonai et hakise. The Lord, so Yahweh, has not given. So there we have our verb natan. He gave. But now it's made negative by putting lo in front of it. It's one of the two negative particles. Li to me. The Lord has not given me the throne. Vayiten kesef lenavi. Vayiten kesef lenavi. Then he gave silver, that's kesef, to the navi, to the prophet. So Vayiten, then he gave. Vayavo el Yericho. Vayavo el Yericho. Then he came to Jericho. That's Yericho. Vayeshev Sham. Vayeshev Sham. Okay, so now notice the way that this story is working. We began with a time marker at the very front, Vayom Hasheni, on the second day. Then we have our opening verb, Halak, he went, so the prophet went there. And then we have this whole string of verb forms that continue the narrative. So they run Vayimtsa, then he found, Vayomer, then he said, Vayishma, then he heard. Vayevk, then he wept. Vayiten, then he gave. Vayelek, then he went. Vayavo, then he came. Vayeshev, then he stayed. So that's our storyline, as it were. The verb itself is halak.
Oh, okay.
Hey, lamed kaf. We've seen the form lek as the command go, which is an abbreviated form of it. Okay, now there are some times when we don't have this continuing form of the verb, beginning with va. So the first time we had was halak, and on the second line, he went. So that's our very first verb of the narrative. It initiates things. It's not carrying on a story, and so it's not in that continuing form. Then, third line down on page 37, we had Ko Amar Adonai. There, Amar is put in a different form because it refers to what the Lord had already said to the prophet. It's not the next stage in the narrative. The next stage in the narrative was what the prophet himself said. Now he's proclaiming this and he's sort of taking a jump back in time and saying, this is what the Lord has said. Then a few lines further down, we have Saul saying, Ki Amar, because he said, and this is, as it were, it's giving us a little aside. So he wept because he thought, so you can think of the thinking there or the saying coming before the weeping. It's a little aside giving us an explanation. Then what he says to himself is, Lo Natan. Before that, thus says the Lord, we had the Lord saying, Natati et hakisei le David. So Natati, we don't have there this continuing form of the verb. Instead, this is sort of what the Lord himself has already done, and it's contained within a speech. So it's not on this main narrative sequence. Then he says, then Saul is saying to himself, Lo Natan li Adonai, the Lord has not given me. So there too, we get a verb that's off this main line, not Vayitain, but Lo Natan, referring back to what the Lord has already done, or in this case, not done. So those, we now go over the page. So in our story, if we look at the various verbs that we have in this story, under Aleph, this is the main storyline. So it begins, Halak, he went. Then we continue with a string of continuing forms of the verb, Vayimsa, and he found, Vayomer, and he said, Vayishma, and he heard. And then under Beit, we have the other forms of the verb that are not part of this narrative chain, either they're in speech, referring back to past action or something. So Amar, he said, Natati, I've given Amar, he thought, and Natan, he's given. In discourse analysis, and discourse analysis is a term that we use to basically analyze and see how a piece of narrative, that's what we call a discourse, a piece of narrative is working, and how it's constructed. You may find the clauses which have the verbs in column Aleph described as mainline. They begin the story and carry its events forward. The clauses which have the verbs in column Beit may be called offline. They contribute to the story without carrying it forward. So this is what I do whenever I work through a Hebrew narrative, is I divide it into those two things and makes it much easier. It's a tremendous help to then understanding what's going on in a story. And because Hebrew narrative works, this is a very distinctive way in which Hebrew narrative works. And this might seem all a little theoretical for you at this moment, but because this is how 50% of the Bible works, of the Hebrew Bible works, you're being introduced to this very early stage. Otherwise, it'll be very confusing why we have this va. What's this and that's prefixed to the verbs? What magic is it doing? Well, it's just carrying on a storyline. And then it continues, many English verbal forms that express action tell us particularly A, about the action and about the time of the action. So in English, we use what we call a tense system. So our tenses, and we have a whole bunch of them, tell us something about the time when something occurred. So we have present tense, we have various past tenses, so imperfect, perfect, pluperfect, and we have several future tenses, future and future perfect, and so on. So it's a tense system. Hebrew doesn't work that way, although many people unfortunately approach it that way and they try and make it a tense system. Hebrew verbal forms tell us particularly A, about the action and about the type of action, whether it is completed or definite or viewed as continuing or indefinite. Now, those of you who took Greek last year will have encountered that Greek works the same way as well, although many people try and think of Greek as being a tense language as well. So what we have to be aware of is importing our understanding of how English verbs work back into these other languages. So in Hebrew, there are basically three forms of the verb. There's one that expresses completed action, there's one that expresses incomplete action, and then there's this other form that expresses continuing action in the narrative that is always prefixed with a va. Now, that completed action could be in the past, or it could be in the future. The incomplete action could be in the past, or in the future, or in the present. And you have to use context to figure that out.
So, Werner, here they're only listing two of those, completed or continuing?
Right. Completed or continuing, and the one they haven't put in here is this continuing narrative form, va. Which in this case would be vayitain. Now, what do we actually call these? Well, these two forms of the verb get called a whole number of different things, and that lends to the confusion. But at the moment, we can think of them as being completed action and incomplete action, or continuing indefinite action. So we have natan. Natan. Completed single or definite action, and he lists some of the ways in which you could translate that, ranging from he had given, so a completed action with the results in the past, that's what in English we would call a pluperfect, through to he has given, completed action with present results, what in English we would call the perfect, he gave, completed action, simple, what we would call the simple past, he gives, present, he will give, future. And if the context is right, you could use natan for all of those. Then for yitain, the other form of the verb, yitain, expressing continuing, repeated, or indefinite action. That could be he was giving, so continuing action in the past, what we would call the imperfect. He used to give, repeated or habitual action in the past, sort of. He will give, that's future. He is giving, continuing action in the present, continuous present, we would call that. He gives, simple present. He may give, be a conditional. Oh, that he would give, which there is sort of a wish. And all of those, if context is right, could be expressed by that form of the verb. So how then do you know what time to use to translate these? Well, you have to use context. And you'll notice that in our story, it gave us the time at the very beginning, Bayom Hasheni, on the second day, and then we launched that tzetzes and when the time was. And then because we then got these continuing narrative forms of the verb, this is all happening in the past and being related as past activity. Now, the top of page 39 says, the best way to understand and translate such verbal forms can only be discovered from the contexts in which they are used. So context, context, context is imperative for helping us understand. There is some measure of overlap between natan and yitain and the way these two verbs get used. And then a little proviso here, we cannot always be sure why one form is used rather than the other. But in general, this is the current state of the understanding of how the whole verb system works in Hebrew. And I should say that really in the last 25 years has been a complete transformation in the understanding of the way the verb system works. And really with this understanding of how this narrative, this whole discourse analysis, is really a pretty recent understanding of how it's all working and finally makes sense of a lot of things. So.
Is that why different translations have different tenses, structures?
Well, it will mean that, so older translations that New American Standard were done before there was really this understanding of how Hebrew verbs all work. More recent ones, particularly so NIV and ones like the Holman, are a lot more conscious of how the Hebrew verb system is functioning. And so we'll translate things often somewhat differently from that. Okay, in lessons 4 through 6, you're going to add to your experience of forms like natan, he gave. So that's the completed form. Natati, I gave, and dibaru, they spoke. Natan, natati, dibaru, which usually indicate an action seen as completed or definite. And we'll add to our experience of forms like vayidaber, and he spoke, and vatudaber, and she spoke, which usually indicate the next step in a continuing narrative. Viewed as being the next thing that happened in the telling of the story. Lesson 5, learn about adjectives, words like tov, good, which you've encountered in Boker Tov, good morning, ra, bad, chakam, chakam, wise, and kasil, foolish, kasil. And then lesson 6, we'll look at verbal forms which can indicate future action or continuing action in past time, like yitain, yitain, he will give or he gives, and tivtach, tivtach, she trusts or she will trust or she was trusting. So those two basic forms of the verb, one we'll cover in lesson 4, the other in lesson 6. So lesson 4, the completed form of the verb, like natan, and then also the continuing narrative form of the verb, and then lesson 6, this incomplete form of the verb, expressing incomplete action. And then some notes. Number 1, the English check column cannot give all possible translations, but when you look at it, do not ask, have I used the same words, but have I understood the meaning? This is when we're given an English translation alongside the Hebrew. So the goal is eventually you then hide up the English and begin to be able to try and work your way through it in Hebrew. Secondly, as you go on reading, you'll increase your ability to understand. Be patient with yourself. You didn't learn your own language in a day. As you've seen, hopefully, the goal of this book is to get you up and reading as quickly as possible. And this is an inductive approach. Rather than a deductive approach. So rather than teaching you lots and lots and lots of rules and all the rules about the language and all the forms of the words, and only then do you start reading, the goal is to that you learn just enough to get you up and reading, and then as you read, you will then pick up how things are working. And so, for example, this material here, to be introduced to these forms of the verb, is normally a Hebrew course would wait a long, long time to introduce this. But this is such a distinctive feature of written Hebrew, of Hebrew, that it's great to have you introduced to this right away, because in all your reading, you're going to encounter this. And it's great to have you learn how these verbs are working, even if you don't understand everything about it. So the goal is get you reading. So read, read, read. That's why we've got a fair bit of reading in every single lesson. 3, very important, I've already alluded to this. Hebrew is in some ways very different from European languages. So it's part of a completely different family of languages, the Semitic language family. Don't try and think of it in terms of English grammatical terms. And that particularly applies to the verb system. We've got to get out of trying to think of it as a tense system with all these nuances of tenses that we have in English. And instead just view it as what we call an aspect system. So aspect of completed action or incompleted action. And then an encouragement for you every day, if you can, listen to a little bit of the CD. Just so you're constantly hearing Hebrew. So if you haven't already done that, put that on your iPod or